Amen. Are you redeemed this morning? You have victory in Jesus this morning. You have freedom in Christ this morning. From the hymnals to the worship music, and all worship music, I understand that. It was a very powerful message. Such a sweet anointing here this morning. Praise the Lord. So this morning, it's going to be in Matthew chapter 7. I think this is going to be the last message in this little series. I did a little 2-3 week series. If you missed a couple Sundays, you can catch it on the website. Matthew chapter 7, 15 through 20. And as you're turning there, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for loving us to send your Son to die on the cross, to be buried and raised on that third day, giving us that blessed hope that we can experience freedom, freedom from death, just freedom in Christ, period, Lord. We rest in you and rest in what you've done and you've role modeled for us. Rest in everything that we do. But we just pray that you'll help us, teach us, give us the wisdom. Thank you for your grace. We love you. Father, we ask that you bless our military around the world. Bless our missionaries who are running about around the crazy places spreading the good news of the gospel. We pray for Lynn Childers. Lift her up, Father. Lift up Kay Nettles. Lift them up and her husband Randy and all the folks that are at our church that are struggling. Yes, Lord, and Pete. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pete's struggling, and we pray for him. All right? A lot of folks struggling with different things, ailments and sicknesses, and so we want to lift each other up, support each other. Amen? So I just want to kind of remind you of the parable that Jesus told. Remember the tree just real briefly, give me 30 seconds and I'll rebuild that again. Jesus tells a parable of this man I got sidetracked, Tammy. Anyway, this man comes and he's talking to the gardener and he's sharing with them about how this fig tree is not producing fruit. And he said, just cut it up, do away with it, be done with it. And the gardener said, hey, wait a minute. Now let's give me a little time here. Let's dig around it a little bit and let's fertilize it and let's give it 1 year and see how it's going to go. And so hopefully 1 year it'll be producing some fruit, and if not, we'll do away with it. So that's kind of where we're at. Last week we talked a little bit about fertilizing and how supporting and encouraging each other and that sort of thing is kind of like fertilizer. I'm hoping that you did pray. Again, no condemnation if you didn't, but did you pray and ask the Lord to put somebody or some family on your heart that you can pray for each week? I hope you did that. If not, I want to encourage you to do that. I have a little family that God put on my prayer. I try to pray for all of you, not every day, but I try to pray for all of you. I do the little thing I learned from Marianne, where I go through the pews and pray for you. But there's one particular couple that the Lord put on my heart to focus on for a little while. So I hope that you will pray and ask God if he will put someone or maybe a family or a couple on your heart that you can pray for. Amen? Amen. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20. So let's look at this. So again, I've got to go into teaching mode here, so here we go. Verse 15 says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Everybody say amen? Now, talk a lot about fertilizing, digging around this fig tree, and I'm hoping you understand this is sort of a metaphorical, parable type thing that we need to really look and apply to our life. So when we start digging, when you start digging around in your garden to find out maybe why your fig tree is not producing the fruit that you would like, you always want to remember this. Everybody ready? Don't allow just anyone to dig around in your garden. Be very careful. Verse 15 tells us, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. You see, I've seen this in my career as a counselor, and in my little short time as a pastor. These false prophets are all about profits. Y'all get it? Be careful. When you look up the Greek in this, when he talks about false prophets, when you look up the Greek in this, this is literally what this word means. It means a foreteller or an inspired speaker. They lie and deceive for money. It's one who acts the part of a divinely man or woman of God but utters foolishness. This could be a preacher, it could be a teacher, it could be a healer, it could be a motivational speaker. All I'm saying is, just tread lightly in these areas. The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Amen? So that's the negative part. Let's move to the positive part, right? So, who should you allow to dig around in the roots of your fig tree to find out why it's not being fruitful? And my recommendation this morning is three things. Good little Baptist preacher, I got 3 points, right? So 3 people that I would recommend that you allow to come into your life, okay, if your fig tree is not producing the fruit that you would like. Here's one, a trusted advisor. Number 2, the Word of God. Number 3, Holy Spirit prayer. And I'm going to cover each of those 3. So, a trusted advisor, the Word of God, and Holy Spirit prayer. I'll talk about that one a little bit later. So, a trusted advisor could be a counselor, it could be a fitness coach, right? If you're trying to lose weight and get in shape, it could be a financial type person, like the Dave Ramsey stuff, a trusted advisor. But let's just stick with maybe emotional type stuff or as they say in my field, of mental health issues like anger, depression, right? Anxiety, drug and alcohol, those kind of things. Let's stay there for a minute. If you're marriage or if your life is not producing the fruit that you like, then I would encourage you, first of all, is to seek out a professional. A professional. Be careful with talking to, you know, folks that, well, I'm not going to nitpick. Just go see a professional that's trained, that understands about confidentiality. You know, if you go see a pro, if you come to see me in counseling, right, if I have my counselor hat on, you are protected by federal law, the federal law of confidentiality. If I or if a counselor or therapist talked about your business, you know, they could serve 1 year in prison and or a $10,000 fine. That's all counselors. Okay? Confidentiality is important for folks that are struggling with certain issues. They need to be able to feel safe that they can share and your business not end up at the fish market or the fire station or the church pew. Right? It's very important. So if you go see a counselor, right, it's going to be three different things: therapy, counseling, or coaching. Those are the basic three areas. Therapy, okay, is talking about past trauma. Because remember, we're talking about digging in the soil, digging down in the roots to try to figure out why this fig tree is not producing fruits, why this marriage is not going the way it should, why my teenagers are not acting the way they should, why do I feel this way, why am I doing these things that I know I shouldn't be doing? Amen? So past trauma is normally the fire. Remember a couple of weeks we talked about the smoke? You know, anger is just a smoke. It's not really the problem. You know, I never refer anybody to anger management. It just don't make sense to me. We're going to go learn how to manage your anger? That's like saying I'm going to go to sad management class. I'm going to learn how to manage my sadness. It's just, that's created by people like me who are making money selling their books and classes. It's just, trust me, you know. Depression is the smoke. Drug addiction is the smoke. Anxiety is just the smoke. Now, smoke will kill you, right? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Smoke will kill you. Firemen will tell you that most people die from the smoke. So a good therapist will help you get down to the fire. And once you get down to the fire and you put that fire out, then guess what goes away? The smoke. And from my experiences, and I know I'm talking to church folks, but you need to hear this. Seriously. Or you need to hear this so that you can gain information to help your loved ones or your neighbor or your coworker. Seriously. 25% of you right now have a life-controlling problem. Sitting right here. Okay? So, put the fire out. Smoke goes away. Amen? The next was counseling. Counseling is nothing more than helping you get from point A to point B. From point A to point B. If you're here and you want to get here, a good counselor will give you information, education, knowledge, support to help you get from point A to point B. Okay? It's therapy, counseling, and then coaching. Coaching is nothing more than helping you, encouraging you, motivating you to accomplish your goals in life. It could be a goal just to go into college, going to school, getting another job, working out things in your life. Amen? Now, I'll share something real quick because this is important. In the professional counseling world, there's a concept called Jahari's window. It was actually created by two psychologists, one named Joe and one named Harry. True story. They couldn't decide what to call their concept, so they put their names together, Joe and Harry. It's Jahari's window. It's a window pane. And I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all help me. You stay with me. It's a window, like with four panes. Get it? Window pane. And this window, you can look through this window, and others can look through this window, and you can look out the window. So you look out the window, you look into the window, into yourself. All right? I found this to be very true, and I've used this in my practice many times. Okay? So you got four panes. The top left pane is what's called the open self. Okay? The open self. And it's information about you that both you and others know. You know this about yourself, and others know this about yourself. And we call that the transparency or the honesty. Everything's transparent, everything's honest. I know I'm fat, you know I'm fat. You know, it's pretty obvious. Go see a counselor. I want to get from this weight to this weight. Great, let's do A, B, and C, and D. And if you stick to it, you'll get there. You know, it's kind of one of those things. Okay, window pane down on the bottom left is what's called the hidden self. It's information about you that you know, but others don't know. And we call that secrets and lies. And I'm going to tell you this, guys. We're as sick as our secrets. So be careful. The devil loves this window pane. He loves for you to keep secrets and not tell people about what's really going on. There's so many people in church, at your work, wearing a mask, pretending that be somebody else, hoping that someone won't really find out what's going on inside of them. So be careful with this one. The top right window pane is called the blind self. It's information about you that you don't know, but others do know. We call this denial or pride. In other words, you don't realize you do this. You don't realize you act this way, but others can see it clearly. I remember that from raising teenagers. You can see it very clearly, but they don't see it. I mean, there's days I go by, weeks and weeks I go by, that I just absolutely do not even aware that I have a bald spot up here, you know? You see me? But see, you know, it's real clear, you know. But I'm in denial. Sometimes I'm in denial about my weight. You know, being in the Marine Corps, I'm still a lean, mean fight machine. That's what I think. See, you know. That's denial. That's denial or pride, right? But I'm working on it. So don't be hating on me. I'm working on it. Now, I'll get off this subject, okay? But the fourth window pane on the bottom right, it's called the unknown self. The unknown self. It's information about you that neither you nor others know. And we call this the dark places. Cool? It's things that sometimes we suppress down, and it's been so suppressed through the years that you really don't even remember it. I'll tell you a story, and I'll change the story and change the name for confidentiality reasons. But I was working with a lady one time when I was a therapist at Greenleaf. And she's passed away now, but you wouldn't know her. And she had been sober from alcohol 15, 18 years, and she'd relapse. Couldn't figure out why. I'll make a long story real short. Couldn't figure out why. And through therapy and counseling and maybe trying to go into those dark places through psychoanalysis, which I didn't believe in when I first got in the field. You know, I just want everybody to get saved and everybody be great. That's rookie counselor stuff. You can get saved, life be wonderful, and you got your fire insurance and you're going to heaven and all that, but you can still suffer from emotional problems. You can still suffer because we're still in this flesh. You know what I mean? She couldn't figure out why. Me and Dr. Solomon worked with her, tag team. You know that? Anybody know Dr. Solomon? He's a really great guy. He's a good Christian guy, loves the Lord. And we worked, tag teamed on her, worked with her, you know. And make a long story short, found out why she had relapsed on alcohol. She had no clue. And here's the story. She was working at an office, and this new, older man started working there. Well, again, trying to make a long story short. This older man wore Brute cologne. How many wore Brute cologne? Remember that? But to come find out through work that Dr. Solomon did with her and things that I did, come find out she remembered. It was an unknown part of herself she totally forgot about when she was a little kid. We got everybody's of age. She was sexually molested by her uncle in a tobacco barn when she was probably 5, 6, 7 years old. And guess what he wore? He wore Brute cologne. This was 25 years ago. She was so devastated by that, but as a young child and a teenager, she got, you know, let it go, packed it down. And then one day, it's 40-something years old, working in her office. Passing the hall with this older man had Brute cologne on, didn't realize, didn't even put it together. But she started feeling bad, feeling emotional, getting anxious. Didn't want her husband touching her, you know, at night. Don't, you know, I'm good. And you just start getting irritated, agitated. And come find out, you know, a glass of wine, settle her right down. It will. That alcohol, wine will help at the beginning. It's the three-headed devil. Because you drink that wine, releases the alcohol, releases serotonin. Serotonin makes you feel a little better. Makes you sleep a little better. Don't fall for that trick. It's a little slew foot. Because pretty soon, one glass won't do it. Three glasses won't do it. Right? Anyway, so she found freedom. And she was able to come out of that dark place and find healing. Amen? So, are you ready to allow a trusted advisor to dig around in the soil of your soul to help you identify what may be broken, wounded, or in need of a simple adjustment? It's a big question, isn't it? Point two, the Word of God. Now listen closely to this now. I'm talking about the Word. First was a trusted advisor. One is the Word of God. Reading, everybody say reading. Okay, reading, studying, memorizing, meditating on, and applying the Word of God to our lives is one of the three most powerful things you can do to live a victorious life. There's three things that I truly believe the Word of God teaches for us in order to have a victorious life. There's three things. But just reading the Bible is okay. Nothing wrong with it. It's wonderful. Reading, studying. Big difference between reading and studying. Reading, studying, memorizing, meditating on, and then applying the Word of God. It's where we really find victory in Christ. More than the emotions that we get from singing a worship song. That's all great. It touches my heart and I hear Big Daddy Weave and I'm redeemed, man. Touches my heart, but 15 minutes later, there you are. You know? Some people come into church and sing, what's the song, Gary? This is who I am. I am. What's the song? No, a different song. It's an old hymn. Forget it. Sorry. It's my bad. I should have wrote it down. I even thought about it when I was getting my message together, and I said, no, I'll remember it. Don't make that mistake, Adam. Write it down, because, you know. All right, the three most powerful things are Bible study, prayer, and Christian fellowship. You've heard me say that a couple weeks ago. Bible study, prayer, and Christian fellowship. This is the truest definition. This is really the definition of discipleship. And Christ modeled this for us. You see, like I said last week, Christian fellowship fertilizes our life. Prayer waters our life. And then Bible study glues it all together into a solid foundation. Three-legged stool. Amen? You may be asking, how does this really work? Well, Hebrews chapter 4. Here we go. Ready? Now hang on. Buckle up. Hebrews chapter 4, 12 and 13, if you're taking notes. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it, guys? The writer of Hebrews gives us an analogy. It's like dividing joints and marrow. Now listen to this. Joints are the thick, hard, outer part of the bone. Marrow is the soft, tender, living, inner part of the bone. You see where I'm going with this? Where the Lord's really going with this. You see, the Word of God is like a sword that is sharp enough to cut right through the outer, hard, tough part of the bone, right down to the inner, soft, living part of the bone. Now think about this. This story about a sword being, you know, a double-edged sword, sharp enough to... And I used to kind of think about this, I'd say, until I was really studying this week. I'll be honest with you. I always saw the sword, you know, sharp sword. Shah! Boy, just... But then I was thinking, you know, the sharp sword. Shah! Special effects there, just like that. Everybody say, shah! One more time. Ready to go. Okay? A sharp sword. Anyway, I was thinking, rah! And I was thinking, okay, well, what's good for the other side? What's so good about the other side being so sharp, you know? Then I did a little bit more research in this. And it's talking about the double-edged sword that's sharp on both sides. And what it's talking about is the tip of the sword. It's sharp on both sides. It's like, zah! That's what it's like. It's not like chop. It's like, boom! And both sides of that, you see what I'm talking about? Both sides of that sword is sharp on each side. It just gets right in there. That's powerful to me. I'll tell you a quick little story. This guy, this is about 8 years ago. This guy came up, he was a mortgage banker. Really was. Very successful. Young guy, early 30s maybe. Came into Penfield. He had a little accident playing football. Got on pain pills. Got addicted to them. Here he was in Penfield. I'm teaching class like this, you know, and doing a class, and maybe there's 30 guys there, and I'm running over a little bit, y'all. Sorry. And over here, this guy's sitting right here, real good guy, great family, you know. And I'm teaching a class, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm not a prophet. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, you know, the Lord speaks to you sometimes. You're walking with Him, you know. And I'll just teach a class on a subject, just some kind of subject. And I won't tell you his name. We'll just say his name is Fred Flintstone, right? Say Fred. And all of a sudden, it's just the Lord just... And I just looked at Fred and I said, "You quit smoking today. Today, do it for you and your family. Do it for your children." I said, "You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength." Then I just went back and just kept teaching my class on whatever it was, some kind of crazy subject. He's like, starts trembling in his chair, like fighting off from crying, you know. I'm offended this guy now. He's going to leave and report me to my supervisor, you know. No, it was like the Holy Spirit, that Word of God just pierced him through his soul. He was a decent guy. Cigarettes is hard. I can help somebody get off heroin before I can help somebody get off freebase of nicotine. Seriously, it's hard. Anyway, so make a long story to go on that one. He a couple days later, he come to my office knocking on the door. He said, "Man," he said, "when you told me that, it was like God just spoke right in my soul." He said, "I quit." He said, "I threw him away." He said, "I hadn't smoked in 3 or 4 days." The whole time Penfield, he never picked him up again. It's been 8 years later. Today, he's the president of a pretty good medium-sized company in Albany. Probably 50 or 60 employees. He's the president of that company now. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Doing real well. I talk to him maybe once a month. He says, "Dude, I'm still not smoking. I'm scared to smoke." But, you know, that wasn't me just trying to be motivational. You know, I didn't give him the evidence of a busted lung and all that. It was God Almighty, you know, right? Pierced him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17. Ready? All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for, here we go, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is the Word of God now we're talking about. This is the second, you know, thing that you're going to, not the Word of God's a thing, but, you know, it's going to allow you to get around those roots. Okay? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. So here we go. The Word of God will teach you how to cope with whatever you're going through in life. The Word of God will rebuke you about the things you need to do or not to do to improve your life. The Word of God will correct your thinking about how you're dealing with life's issues. And, everybody say and. You're looking sleepy on me. And, the Word of God will train you in righteousness. Now, that word righteousness right there means a little bit different than another Greek word where it uses in righteousness. Because this one means this. Now, listen closely. It will train you in righteousness. Righteousness equals integrity, virtue, purity of life, and correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. That's what the Word of God will do for you. Young people, it will teach you about how to be a good man or a good woman. Megan, it was good to see you up for singing too. That was cool. It will teach you how to have a good marriage. It will teach you how to be a successful business person. It will teach you what you need to do to be successful in life. Amen? So, are you ready to allow the Word of God to dig around in the soul, in the soil of your soul, to help you identify what may be broken, wounded, or in need of a simple adjustment? Trusted advisor, the Word of God. All right, number three. It's 12 o'clock. Y'all ready for 8 more minutes? Yes? No? You don't want to miss the part now. The third one, Holy Spirit prayer. So what do I mean by that? Holy Spirit prayer. Let's look at the scriptures. I'm not making up something here, okay? Romans 8, 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Says, in the same way, the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, a groaning. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with His will. Guys, the Bible is very clear in this verse. Everybody look at me. It's very clear. We all have weaknesses. And we all have problems. Every single one of us in here. We all have weaknesses and we all have problems. The Word of God just told us this. It also says that most of the time, really didn't say most of the time, I'm just kind of throwing that in there because it makes it a little softer. I guess I shouldn't do that, right? But most of the time, we really don't know how to pray for ourselves or others. We really don't. We are completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. Verse 27a says, God searches our hearts and He knows exactly what we need. We know exactly, He knows exactly what your children need, or your grandchildren need. He knows. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. David says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. This is David saying, Lord, search my heart and see if there's any unclean thing in me. It's giving the Holy Spirit permission, right? To dig around and see if there's something I need to work on. It's also very comforting. For me, it's very comforting knowing that in verse 27a, that the Holy Spirit is interceding for me, for you, and according to what God's will is. That's comforting. That's reassuring for me. So even when we don't know, why our fig tree is not producing fruit, we don't know how to fix it maybe, God knows. He knows exactly what you need. When we pray in the Spirit, we are giving the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, permission to search the deepest parts of our soul. Search my heart, O Lord. He can dig around in the root system and find the possible sin. He can dig around in that root system and maybe find a character defect. He can dig around in that root system and maybe find a past trauma that we haven't dealt with. And these things are causing the soul sickness. That we have to deal with it if we want to live a victorious life. Amen? The Holy Spirit can use a trusted advisor to say one word that could change your life. Heath talked about that a couple Sundays ago. It's kind of funny because, I mean, I know that therapist. And if Heath made a funny out of it because he said, I don't remember hardly anything he said, but that one thing was like, bah! And it changed his life. The Holy Spirit can speak directly to you through preaching, the teaching of the Word of God. He can speak directly through your personal Bible study time. When that Word of God becomes rhema, and it becomes alive, and it comes out of those pages and gets into the depths of your soul. The Holy Spirit can also speak to you through prayer and quiet time. Quiet time. He can speak to you while you're meditating by the river or a lake or ocean. He can speak to you in meditation while you're laying on your couch, kneeling by your bed, or walking down an old dirt road. He can speak to you while you're sitting still on your exercise mat. Amen. So, are you ready to allow the Holy Spirit to dig around in the soil of your soul to help you identify what may be broken or wounded or in need of a simple adjustment? Jesus said this, and I'll close. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, 28 and 30. He says, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened and heavy laden. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. He says, and I will give you rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is encouraging us to follow him. We should follow his example of prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit, and in our case, listening to the Holy Spirit as we pray and read the Word of God and as we fellowship together. This will give us fertile ground. This will give us fertile ground. And with a little time, our fig tree will begin to produce the fruit, the good fruit. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, that it does encourage us, instruct us, counsel us, correct us, rebuke us, everything that we really need. Thank you for the folks here this morning, Lord. If there's one here that is never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. During this song of invitation, I pray that they'll come down. And I'd be glad to pray with them. Maybe there's someone who'd like to come down to the altar and give it all. All the worries and concerns and anxieties and pressures of life. They'd like to leave it here at this altar. Maybe someone like to join a church or get baptized. I just pray your will be done in all this. In Jesus' name, amen.